Well, our message series is called Lord, I Have a Problem. And in this series, we're looking at really just a number of problems that we face in life and then how God helps us with those problems through our new life in Jesus Christ. And today we come to a very familiar problem, the problem of anger. And this is something we all struggle with from time to time, some of us more than others. But that's what we want to look at today. How does God help you with the problem of anger? There's an outline in your worship guide. I would encourage you to take that out. It'll help you to follow along on a lot of the points we'll be looking at today. Also, on the reverse side of that outline, I've listed a number of resources for you that might be helpful. If this is something that you or someone you know really struggles with, these are some wonderful books and other resources if you wanted to do further reading or research on the topic. So, how does God help you with the problem of anger? The first thing we need to recognize is that anger is indeed a problem, okay? It's a real problem. You know, the Bible says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. You cannot be an angry person and live the righteous life that God desires you to live. Anger is an especially big problem because it is a gateway to so many other problems. It's been said that anger is one letter short of danger. Take away that letter D and look what you've got. And that's a good warning to keep in mind. Anger can cause great damage not only in your life, but in the lives of those around you. Anger can cause relational problems, loss of marriage, loss of family, loss of friends. Anger can cause major life problems, loss of job, lawsuits, damage to property, harm to others. It can even lead to murder. Anger can cause emotional problems. If you are an angry person, that will affect you emotionally at every level. Anger can also cause physical problems. Here's a list of items that have all been linked with unresolved anger: high blood pressure, heart disease, headaches, stomach problems, ulcers, colitis, and insomnia, all been linked with anger. Anger is particularly dangerous because it is self-reinforcing. And what I mean by that is when we get angry, we often get results. You might think, well, that's a good thing. That's a terrible thing, okay? Because we get the results, that means we're more likely to get angry again the next time around. Why? Because it works. Anger is a shortcut that short-circuits whole relationships and short-circuits true satisfaction in life. Neil Clark Warren puts it this way. He says, I get what I ask for, but not what I want. In other words, you might get the immediate results you're looking for. I got that person to be quiet. I got them to shut up. I got my way. You might get those immediate results, but you lose out on long-term fulfillment and joy. It has been said, either learn to control your anger or it will control you. And trust me, you will be a much happier person in life if you can learn to deal with anger in your life. So anger is a real problem. That's our first point. It's a problem. But remember this, Jesus came to help you with your problems. So what is anger anyways? Now we're going to move from the problem of anger to understanding anger. Because unless we understand anger and how it works, we will have a harder time dealing with the problem. And the first thing you need to understand about anger is that it is an actual physical response. It's a physical response. It takes place in your body. Proverbs 29:22 puts it this way. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. You see that phrase, hot-tempered one? In the Hebrew, that's a phrase that literally means owner of the heat. Okay, not owner of the Miami Heat, okay? But owner of the heat. It speaks of that hot flush that you often feel, right? When you get angry, you feel the heat, don't you? You feel that hot flush just go coursing through your body when you're angry. That's what it's talking about. You're the owner of the heat at that time. And when you get angry, your body does some pretty amazing things. Let me read to you. The nerve center in your hypothalamus activates your emergency system, which constricts blood to your kidneys, intestines, and skin. At the same time, your brain sends a signal to your adrenal glands to pump large doses of adrenaline and cortisol into your bloodstream. Your muscles tighten, your heart beats faster, your blood pressure rises, the blood is directed away from your skin and toward your muscles in order to facilitate a fight or flight response. You go, what? That all happens when I'm angry? Yep, all that's going on. And you go, well, why? Why does my body do that? To prepare you for action. Physically, it is the exact same physical response that you experience when you're suddenly startled or if you're confronted by danger. It's a state that is called physiological preparedness. It is an actual physical state that God designed for you, that God uses to prepare you to defend yourself in times of danger. It is a great response when you're confronted by a mother bear with her cubs. Not so great when you find yourself yelling at the wife and kids. But it's a physical response. Second thing I want you to understand about anger is that anger is a secondary emotion. Anger is never primary. It is always a response to something else. Anger is a symptom. It's not the real problem. It's like the warning light in your car. That's not the problem. It's telling you something else is the problem. It's God's signal to you that something is wrong. So what are the various triggers that can set off our anger? It usually comes down to these three main things. It's going to be either hurt, frustration, or fear. Let's look at all three. First of all, hurt. Could be physical hurt. I know I get angry when I'm physically hurt. Hammering that nail, hit the thumb. Oh, I'm angry. Why? Yeah, am I angry at the hammer? Angry, but I'm hurt. I'm angry. Could be physical hurt, but more often it is emotional hurt or pain. When you feel rejected, betrayed, unappreciated, unloved, or treated unfairly, you will often respond with anger. Biblically, we see a good example of this with Cain and Abel in the Bible. We read in Genesis 4, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. And his face was downcast. Why did Cain get angry? So angry, he murdered his brother because his offering was not accepted. He felt that emotional pain of rejection, and he sinfully responded in anger. A second trigger is that of frustration. When we run into either unmet expectations or a lack of control over our situation, we often respond with anger. This is a huge one. This is the one I have to struggle with the most. This is the one that can set off anger for me. It's a huge one because we face so many unmet expectations in life, right? We have expectations for our marriage. We have expectations for our kids. We have expectations for our job. We have expectations in just how our day is going to go. And lack of control, not being able to control things around you, don't get me started. Do you know why you get so angry when you're in a traffic jam? Because you have absolutely no control. You know, you're stuck in traffic. You're going to be late. You get frustrated. You're so angry. There's nothing you can do about it. You get angry. Biblically, good example of frustration leading to anger is the person Naaman. Naaman was that Syrian general. He went to Elisha the prophet for healing. He had leprosy. Elisha said, God will heal you. God's gracious. Go wash in the Jordan River. Oh boy, we read in 2 Kings. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he'd come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. The Jordan are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel. Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned away and went off in a rage. What made Naaman angry? Unmet expectations. He expected Elisha to do one thing, Elisha did another. He was angry because Elisha did not do what he wanted or expected him to do. And then a third trigger is that of fear. When you're startled or you feel threatened, you will often respond in anger. Remember, we said earlier that the physical response of anger is identical to the physical response of fear. That's why when someone startles you, they creep up behind you and go, boo! You know, not only startled, you get angry. It's like, why did you do that? Right? You suddenly get angry. Why? Because it's the exact same response. The fear response jumps in, and then your body mistakes it for anger. A good example of fear leading to anger is King Saul in the Old Testament. When David killed Goliath, the women came out, and they sang, and they danced in the streets. We read in 1 Samuel 18, as they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Oh, Saul did not like that. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had left Saul. Saul felt threatened by David, and he responded in anger. Anger is a secondary emotion. So when you are angry, you need to stop and ask yourself, why? You know, why am I angry? What's that warning light flashing in my life trying to warn me about? Am I hurt? Am I frustrated? Or am I afraid? And then once you understand that anger is that secondary emotion, you can begin dealing with the actual problem, whatever that primary emotion is that's setting you off. Now, as we're trying to understand anger biblically, we also need to understand the difference between what the Bible calls righteous anger and what we usually do, sinful anger. But there is a thing called righteous anger. Anger is not always wrong. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. That means anger is not always sinful. For example, God expresses righteous anger. We read in Psalm 7, God is a righteous judge, a God who expresses his wrath or anger every day. In fact, the Bible speaks over 100 times of God's anger. Obviously, God doesn't sin, and so anger is not sinful in and of itself. Then we also have a few, very few, okay, examples of people exhibiting righteous anger in the Bible. Moses demonstrated righteous anger over the people's rebellion with the golden calf. David demonstrated righteous anger when Goliath mocked the true God of Israel. And then, of course, we have Jesus. Jesus demonstrated righteous anger with the Pharisees when they didn't want him healing people on the Sabbath. He demonstrated righteous anger with his disciples when they tried to stop the people from bringing their children to him. And then, of course, Jesus really demonstrated righteous anger when he cleared the temple, turned over those tables, and drove out the money changers. You see, it's okay to get angry when you get angry about the right things and in the right manner. Anger is righteous when it does good rather than harm. Here's a good prayer you can pray. Lord, let me be angry about the things that make you angry. Thomas Secker said, he that would be angry and sin not must not be angry with anything but sin. Now, if righteous anger does good rather than harm, then sinful anger does harm rather than good. And unfortunately, we've got a whole lot more experience with sinful anger than we do with righteous anger, right? Back to Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one, that's the owner of the heat, right? A hot-tempered one commits many sins. There are three main types of sinful anger. First, there is explosive anger. This is what we call the short fuse or the quick flare. It expresses itself as intimidation. We read about it in Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Explosive anger is the most visible form of sinful anger. And then secondly, there is nurtured anger, otherwise known as the slow burn. And nurtured anger expresses itself as resentment. And the person who nurses their anger, nurtures their anger, is usually marked by pouting, plotting, self-pity, and generally just making everybody around them miserable. We find a good example of this with King Ahab in the Old Testament, when a man named Naboth refused to sell him his vineyard. We read, "So Ahab went home sullen and angry because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, 'I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers.' Ahab lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat." Nurtured anger may not be as obvious as explosive anger, but it is just as sinful and just as deadly. And then finally, there's what we can call buried anger, or what I like to call the ticking time bomb. Now, buried anger expresses itself as denial. "I'm not angry. Oh, I'm fine. I'm not upset. It's good. It's all good." Problem is, you are angry. Unless you admit it, unless you confess it, that ticking time bomb is going to go off someday. When it does, it's not pretty. No one likes to admit it when we're angry, but denying it does not make it go away. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." That buried anger, it's always going to find its way out, okay? If not as visible anger, then it's going to come out as depression or sarcasm or all kinds of passive-aggressive behavior. "An angry man stirs up dissension. A hot-tempered one commits many sins." Folks, we need to learn how to deal with our anger. So that brings us to our third point this morning, is how do we do that? How do we deal with our anger? And there's three things I want to share with you here. First of all, how you express anger is a learned response. Our sinful natures are very quick to pick up on sinful patterns around us. And so if your only models on how to deal with anger are sinful ones, guess what? You will probably be expressing your anger in sinful ways. And the good news here is that Jesus came to help you with your problems. God can help you to learn new ways of dealing with your anger, new patterns that you can put in place instead through Christ and the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that. It's a learned response. Secondly, how you express anger is a chosen response. No one can make you angry. A lot of people don't believe that. "You made me angry." No one can make you angry. You can always choose not to be angry. Want me to prove it to you? It's real easy. It's real easy. We've all been there. You're at home or something, heated discussion. You're angry. You're in this tower. Ah, you're going on. Your phone rings. Ah. "Hey, this is Ray. How you doing?" Oh, yeah, that's right. That's coming up, isn't it? It's going to be so good. Right? You can turn it off anytime you want to. We all can. Problem is, we don't want to. James 1:19 says, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry." That is not just good advice. That is a scriptural command. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him." Be quick to listen, slow to speak. God gave you two ears, one mouth. Use them accordingly. Think before you speak. And when in doubt, don't. Right? You can always say something later, right? If it's appropriate to say something, if it really needs to be addressed, you can always say something later. But you can never unspeak the words you have already said. And if you choose, it's a choice, if you choose to be quick to listen, slow to speak, that will help you with the third part of this command, which is to be slow to anger. God is slow to anger. Praise God, right? Psalm 103:8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Do you know how we know that God is slow to anger? This one's real easy too. You know how we know God is slow to anger? We're all here. We're all still here. Okay, if God was not slow to anger, we'd all be gone. Okay, proof positive, God is slow to anger. God is slow to anger, and we also should be slow to anger. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Maybe you need to get better at overlooking offenses in your life. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. We've looked at anger as a learned response. We've looked at anger as a chosen response. So finally now, how do we express anger as a godly response? And here I want to give you five steps to follow in closing, five practical applications. First of all, ask God for help. Ask for God's help. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just, he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You will not fix this problem on your own. You need God's help. Confess it to him. Confess your sin to God and receive his forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Confess it to others, anybody who's been affected by your anger. As soon as you can, as soon as it's happened, go to that person or persons and say, I'm so sorry, I was wrong. The anger was my fault. I was wrong to do that. I don't blame it on anybody else. I own it. It's mine. I'm sorry, and I will do better. Every time. Don't let one instance of anger pass where you do not do that to the people affected by your anger. And when you do that, you're going to get tired of doing that. And that's going to actually help you with self-control. And as you look to God and say, God, help me with this. I don't want to do this again and again. And then remember those three triggers that can jumpstart your anger. Remember, it's usually hurt, frustration, or fear. So ask God. Say, God, please heal my hurts. God, help me with my frustration. Help me to stop trying to control everything. Let go of your fears. Learn to trust God instead. Ask for God's help. That's the first place you start. Number two, learn to recognize the warning signs early. Proverbs 17:27 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. A man of understanding is even tempered. The Bible says there is power in knowledge and in understanding. And so the more you understand how anger works in general, the more you understand how anger works in you, and you understand your own triggers, the more you will learn to exercise restraint. The sooner you can recognize it happening, the sooner you can do something about it. If you're in that conversation, you feel that flush, you feel that heat begin to rise. Or in your mind, you just suddenly picture yourself picking something up and throwing it across the room. There's a reason you're picturing that. You don't picture that when you're in a good state of mind. That means your state of mind has been disrupted. As soon as you recognize that, hold up your hand, say, time out, time out. I'm about to lose it. I'm so sorry. It's not your fault. It's mine. I need a time out. Let me go away. I'm not dodging the conversation. I'm not trying to avoid, you know, dealing with this, but I've got to take a break. I'm so sorry. It's my fault. And then you take your break and you come back and talk about it later. Recognize early. Number three, resolve quickly. Learn to resolve your anger quickly. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And don't give the devil a foothold. There's an old Latin proverb based on this verse that says, he who goes angry to bed has the devil for a bedfellow. I don't want to go to bed with the devil, and you don't either. And so when you get angry, don't stay angry, but resolve it. Pray about it. Talk it over with a friend. Take a bath. Go for a walk. Listen to some praise music. Talk to God, but whatever. Don't let your anger build and burn. Take care of it before the sun goes down if you can. I like what Ray Pritchard says. He says, talk it out, pray it out, walk it out, but don't try to sleep it out. That won't work. Sometimes just telling the other person, look, I don't want to be angry. Let's work this out. Sometimes that's all it takes. Number four, practice forgiveness. God tells us in his word, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I like what Chip Ingram says, just because you got it off your chest doesn't mean it's not still in your heart. And so you need to learn to say, I'm sorry, when you're the one who's wrong, and you need to practice forgiveness when the other person is wrong. And then finally, ask God to develop the fruit of the Spirit in you. We talked about this last week when we talked about Jesus and your problems. And every time we're going to keep coming back to the fruit of the Spirit. It's so important. The fruit of the Spirit are those positive character traits that God builds in you through the Holy Spirit. Those positive character traits that counteract and replace the negative character traits that are in you because of sin. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Every one of those will counteract anger in your life. It's hard to be angry when you're practicing love. It's hard to be angry when you're full of joy. You're just full of the joy of the Spirit. You're going to be angry. It's hard to be angry when you have God's peace in your heart or when you're being kind. Hard to be angry when you practice gentleness and self-control. Jesus came to help you with your problems, and he can help you with the problem of anger. So ask for God's help. Recognize anger early. Resolve anger quickly. Practice forgiveness. And ask God to develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Well, dear God, we thank you that you are so patient with us. And God, we are so sorry that we have sinned in this way against you and against others. We are sorry for the hurt and the damage we have done through angry words, angry thoughts, angry actions. And so, Lord, we own it. I'm the owner of the heat. Well, Lord, when it hits me, that's me. That's my sinful nature. I'm so sorry, Lord. We own it. We confess it. We ask for your help. Lord, I pray that we would take these scriptures and the scriptural examples that we've looked at this morning of various people in the Bible who struggled with anger and why and what triggered them. I pray that we would take all of this truth from your word this morning and that we would work it into our lives. That Holy Spirit, you would make us a more loving and joyful and peaceful people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.